Revelation 4. I might preach Revelation 4 for a couple of weeks. I don't know yet. Gonna do one verse tonight. Revelation 4, let's look at verse 1. When you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. Like I say, I'm glad we got through the churches. As we move into chapter 4, you know, it's changing a little bit as far as the reading and the layout of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, let's read. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, now if you got the right kind of Bible, the words change colors right there. Goes to red, amen. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, as I pray right now, Lord, as we open up your word, God, help us, Lord, as we try to preach this and teach this tonight. God, I pray, God, you just help me, dear God, tonight to do what I need to do, Lord, just to bring forth the message, God, that you want us to hear. Lord, have your way right now. I love you, and I thank you for your word, God. Lord, I know, God, this is the only book that we say we're going to be blessed just by reading it and hearing it. And, God, I pray, God, your blessings upon everybody under the sound of my voice right now. And whatever's done, get us out of the way, Lord. All praise, all glory to go to Jesus Christ, your only Son. We love you. Amen. You may be seated. We're leaving the past as we're dealing with the seven churches of Asia Minor. And while we know we study those churches, we understand that it was for personal, for present time. But now we're getting into chapters about the future events. Everything we had studied up to in chapter 3 basically could be say we're dealing with the past. And all these were actual church letters that was written to these churches in the past. But now this is talking about future events. And you got to understand something when you read Revelation 4. It's a special verse. And if you don't understand this verse, everything else after this, you'll kind of get it all out of context, if you will. I was thinking about it, you know, and thinking about today. Have you ever got ready to go to church, or you get up and you start buttoning up your shirt, and you get down to the bottom of the shirt and you got a button all out of whack? Y'all ever done that? Or am I the only idiot in here? Then you got to go back and start all over again. Well, if we don't get this verse right here, that's what happens when you get into, you got to go back and start all over again. So I don't, you know, this verse is about our future. It tells of the day when the children of God are going to leave this world. And somebody come tell me before church tonight and said, we bombed Syria. Guess what? It's getting close. It's getting close. Amen. But let's get into this. Let's look at the importance of this verse. This is a transitional verse. This verse begins with the phrase after this, and it ends with the phrase or the word hereafter. In the Greek, this word is both in the English expression, it's translated in the Greek to metatua. Is the actual Greek word. This is not the first time we have this phrase. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 19, metatua shows up here too. John is commanded to write three different things. Number one, he's to write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. There's our phrase. It's the Greek word metatua that ties all these verses together. If you have in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, is a basic outline for the book of Revelation. Number one, the things which thou hast seen points to the events of chapter 1. The things which are points to the events of chapter 2 and 3, or the letters to the seven churches. Things which thou hast seen, things which are. And when he wrote these letters to these churches, he was writing in the present tense. Then Revelation, he goes, chapter 3 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, Revelation 3:22. These events covered history of the visible church age in that day. Then he says to write the things that shall be hereafter. This points to events that's going to occur after the church age has ended. Okay? After the rapture. things that shall be hereafter. Chapter 4 and 5 finds the saints of God in heaven in his presence, worshiping him there. And then goes to chapter 6 through chapter 19, deals with the great tribulation and with the wrath of God as he judges this sinful world and purifies his people Israel. Chapter 4, verse 1 is an important verse, and it's got to be understood correctly if we're going to stay on track as we move through this book. It's also important for us to understand that it signals a time of transition for the people of God. After this point, the church is never mentioned again on earth. After chapter 4, verse 1, the church is never mentioned again. Okay? This tells us that today with you and I, we got, and I guess if I was going to title this, I'm Gonna Move. Amen? I love that old, I believe it, well, I can't remember who sang it, but it was an old song called I'm Gonna Move. And one of these days, amen, with all this going on, we're going to be called out of here. I'm looking forward to that day, Jackie. I'm looking forward to that day. But it's a typical verse. This verse tells us that one man, John, was called up to heaven. Now, just as one man has affected John, but in this verse, John becomes representative of all men. He pictures what's going to happen to all those believers who are living on the earth at the time when Jesus comes back for his people. Now, I don't want to kind of get ahead of myself, but we understand that this event is called the rapture. Amen. Somebody said one time, said, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the word granddaddy ain't in the Bible either, but guess what? There were some grandfathers in the Bible. I mean, just because the word rapture ain't in there don't mean that it's not going to be a rapture. The bride of Christ is going to be taken out of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The rapture is called the blessed hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, I thank God that we got a hope, because after the rapture takes place, the Spirit of God is going to be taken out of this world. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. That is the restraining Spirit of God. Now, there will be people saved during the great tribulation, but the restraining Spirit of God that is holding Satan back from unleashing everything he's got on the church and everything he's got on you and I, that's the restraining Spirit of God. The Bible talks about he that who now will let, that means to stop. Understand something, folks. Without God, without the Holy Spirit watching over us and protecting us, Satan would destroy you. But when the rapture takes place, all this is going to start taking place. The sinful world is going to be thrown into the great tribulation. So all this is a type or a picture of what's going to happen when Jesus returns for his church, for his bride. Amen? Somebody said it like this one time. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen. And Israel is the bride of God. Kind of keep that in your mind, sort of like that. But this is an illustration of the verses. The book of Revelation is a book filled with signs and symbols. We understand that, an illustration. Back in Revelation chapter 1, we're told that he sent and signified it. Now, if you take that word signified and you break it out or slow down and sound it out real good, it sounds like this: signified. In other words, the book of Revelation is about signs. In other words, John is telling us that there's going to be some signs that you and I have to look at and you and I have to interpret to understand this book. If you read the book of Revelations, you know this is true. Jesus is pictured as the Lamb. New Jerusalem is pictured as the bride. The Antichrist is pictured as the beast. Now, there's a lot of other signs and examples that are given. The use of symbols in no way changes what God says. Everything he says will come to pass. Amen? Now, just because God is dealing it out, and somebody said, why in the world would God do this? Well, understand this. You are living 2,000 years ago. You are John. You're on the Isle of Patmos. God could not come down and show John an Apache helicopter flying through the sky. It'd blow his mind. So God uses signs and symbols for John so that he could write it down so that he would understand what was happening and so that you and I, when we read it today, could understand what was happening. That's one of the reasons all these in there. The two, let's look at this. One of the things that it involved with John was his eyes. John said, I saw a door opened in heaven. The phrase basically means that he saw a door standing open in heaven. This is the third door that we've encountered in the book of Revelation so far. The first door was a door of service in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. The church in Philadelphia is told, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This is the door of the gospel of opportunity to go out and preach. It's a door of service. The church is basically walking in the will of God. They were doing the will of God. So we all have a door of service that's open to us. There was also in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the door of salvation. Those in Laodicea were invited to open the door. Remember we talked about that last week, how Jesus was standing at the door and knocking. We've all seen the picture that there was no handle on the outside. You have to open it from the inside. There's the door of salvation. Also in our text, there's a door in heaven. It's going to be standing open. The tense of the verb right here is this door has been opened and continues to stand open for all who desire to enter. It's a door of opportunity. In other words, that door is open. Hey, that the door of salvation is still there. The door of service is still there for you and I. That door is opened up in heaven. And understand something. You and I have the opportunity. You and I have the will. We have to have that will inside of us. To, number one, to be saved. Number two, to be in service for the Lord. That's a choice that you and I make. How many people, I thought about, you know, and on a Wednesday night and on Sunday nights, you know, how many people make a choice that they don't, I'm not going back to church on Sunday night. I'm not going to church on Wednesday night. They make a choice. I understand when people are sick. I do. I understand that. But understand something. We're dealing with God here. I'm going to tell y'all a funny little story that happened to me today. And I went to Walmart. My wife sent me to Walmart. Got the wrong thing. All the men said amen right there. Got the wrong light bulbs. It wasn't the right one. I'm going to quit going. But I was picking up some other stuff for I got a little office at home that I do a lot of studying in. So I was picking up some stuff for that. And I go and I go through the self-checkout, which I hate doing. But anyhow, I go through and I got my little receipt, you know, and I'm going out the door. And this big old black guy sitting there, and he's got a real deep voice. I've done invited him to church. He said he's going to try to come one day. But he looks at my receipt and he says, have a good day. And I go on out. Adam, I'm putting my stuff in the car. And I look down in the bottom of that shopping cart. And there is a little box of paper clips. Probably less than $3. Little box of paper clips. And first thing thought in my mind, well, I'll just make it right next time I come. And I opened the door, put my stuff in there, and I'm thinking, and I'm trying to get in my car and leave. It's like the Lord speaking to me. And you know, and this is kind of what I thought. You know? I'd hate to have to stand before Jesus and Jesus look down at me and say, paper clips? Paper clips. I got them little box of paper clips, walked right back in there to the service counter and put them on there. I told them, I said, this was in the bottom of my buggy and I didn't pay for them. I want to give them back to y'all. We've got to listen to the Word of God. We've got to listen to the Spirit of God when God is talking to us. Let me tell you something. God ain't never told nobody not to come to church. We've got to listen. We've got that door. The door's open, folks, for us. For the door is open for salvation. The door is open for service. This door was standing open. Now, we know who the door is. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Glory to God. I mean, that you don't go to heaven because through the door of the church, and you don't go to heaven through the door of the preacher, and you don't go to heaven through the door of your grandmama and your granddaddy. You don't go to heaven through the door of this or that. You go to heaven through the door of Jesus. There's one way and one way only, and his name is Jesus. Today that door still stands wide open. It's for whosoever will that can enter. Amen. But there's a door of summons in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 that we're reading right now. This is the door that was open in heaven summoning the church to come on. Then there's going to be a door of splendor in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. One day heaven will be opened again. This time it's going to be allowed for all the people to enter in there. And it's the splendor of heaven. It's a door of splendor. One of these days we going, amen? I got to think about studying this. I said, man, them doors right there make a great sermon. I'll just wait and preach that all by itself. But the Lord said no. But it involved his eyes. But don't you know something? It involved his ears. Not only did John see the door, John heard a trumpet. Here we go again with the language of symbolism. He said, the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking with me. What John heard was not actually a trumpet, but the noise that, of a sounding of trumpet, of a piercing or a loud voice demanding attention. Trumpets were very important in ancient Israel's time. If you go back and study this, in Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 10, God gives the instructions for the use of the trumpet. Now, I'm going to give these to you real quick, so listen real fast. They were to make two trumpets of silver. They would have different blasts, different sounds. The trumpets were to be blown. It was a time when they were to break camp and to leave and move. The trumpets were also to be blown to announce the sacrifice or the feast days. The trumpets were also to be blown to announce that it's time for the priest to come to the tabernacle. And the trumpets were also to be blown to announce a time of war. I believe the trumpet he heard right there was time to break camp, amen? Some of y'all will think about that in a little bit. It's very important for us to listen. It's very important for us to listen to the Spirit of God. Have you ever had God speak to you so loud it sounded like a trumpet? You knew it was God. But then you're like Elijah sometimes. You have to have that still, small voice. But trumpets. Trumpets are figurative very heavily in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 talks about there's going to be a trumpet at the sounding of the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 also speaks of a trumpet connecting with the rapture. Now, when that trumpet sounds, it's going to be a time for the church to break camp, for a time for us to gather up and leave, amen? And I understand something. One of these days, the trumpet's going to blast. The dead in Christ arise first, and those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. Amen. Now listen to this. John says that this trumpet was a voice. And I'm just kind of thinking it was the voice of Jesus calling his people home. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we're told that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. My God, if Jesus shouted, y'all ought to shout. Amen. If Jesus worshiped, we ought to worship. Amen. That's just a little side note right there. Amen. Let me move on. But now, think about this now. When Jesus comes, the trumpet's going to call the living up. But it could be his voice that calls them out of the ground. Because every time Jesus shouted, somebody was resurrected. Think about that. He shouted and Lazarus got up in John chapter 11. He shouted on Calvary and the dead saints arose. And one of these days after the rapture, he's going to shout, the dead in Christ are going to rise, amen. First, then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Hey, when he called out Lazarus, he called one name. He might just, now Jesus ain't country. Jesus ain't from South Carolina. But he might just step out, Jack, and say, all right, y'all, come on. And we all leaving, amen. But Jesus is going to shout. Now, let's look at the implications for this verse. It speaks of a deliverance. Amen. That's exactly what the rapture of the church is, a deliverance. Basically, the rapture of the church is a rescue mission. Think about that now. With everything that's going on, with everything that's happening, and when you study the book of Revelation, and we'll get into it in a few weeks about the Great Tribulation and some of the things that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Let me tell you something. If you had a loved one, if you had loved ones that was over in the Middle East right now, and you had it in your power to go and rescue them for what was happening, wouldn't you do everything in your power to go get them? Why in the world would you think Jesus would want to leave his bride here? He's got all power, Chucky. I just believe he's going to come and rescue us from what's getting ready to take place. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul uses the word caught up to describe what we call the rapture. And the word rapture, like I said, does not appear in the Bible, but the word rapture is a Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo, which is the word translated caught up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. In other words, we're going to be caught up. The word harpazo literally means to seize or to carry off by force. My God, if you saved, you ain't going to have no choice in the matter. When the rapture takes place, you leaving. Whether you happy about it or not, if you saved, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when the rapture takes place, you leaving. You breaking camp. You being caught up. See, there's a terrible danger getting ready to take place after this. After chapter 4 and chapter 5, it gets into what's getting ready to happen. And I'm not going to try to get ahead of myself, but there's a few reasons why I believe the church is going to be raptured out or rescued before the tribulation period begins. Number one, our salvation has delivered us from his wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says that, and chapter 5, verse 9. We're looking for that blessed hope, not the horrors of a tribulation that the Antichrist and the wrath of God is going to bring. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible types suggest that we'll be taken out before the rapture. Now listen, Enoch was removed before the flood. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Lot was removed before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. In Genesis chapter 19, there's a clear pattern. God removes his people before he manifests the wrath of God on what he's getting ready to do. Other proof is found in Revelation 2, verse 7, 11 and 17, 19, chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 13, verse 22. In these verses, Jesus uses the word, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 9 and verse 43, Jesus says this, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. No mention of the Spirit or the church. Now, this was actually before the church was formed and before the Holy Spirit or before the Holy Ghost was given. Now, if you go back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, the verse says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. There's no mention of the church, no mention of the Spirit in Revelation chapter 13 because the church is already there. So he didn't have to mention that. Now, think about this. When hostilities break out in other countries, if you go back and look at in World War I, World War II, we had ambassadors in other countries. Those ambassadors were there to represent our country, to represent our president. Before we declare war on a country, we always call our people out. Amen? That's just common sense. And before God declares war on Satan, and before God declares war on sin, I believe God's going to call his people out. And we're going to be rescued. Some years ago, Billy Graham was preaching somewhere in Hawaii, and he was talking about the second coming. And one of the students said, "Mr. Graham, does this matter of the second coming of the church seem like escapism to you?" Billy Graham said this, "Well, perhaps it does. But young man, you think about this. Before Satan gets through with this old world, we're going to all be looking for the exit sign." Let me tell you something. I know how hard it is right now. I can't imagine trying to live through the tribulation period. It speaks of a destination. Not only is there going to be an escape, praise God, but there's going to be an entrance. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, we shall ever be with the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen? I believe that the church is going to be raptured. If you go back, most of y'all ain't going to know who I'm getting ready to talk about, but you will in just a second. Jim Hill wrote a song years ago. Years ago. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Help me sing it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Now listen. Now there'll be no sorrow there, no more sickness. No sickness, no pain. Listen, no more part, no more death. Amen. Listen, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Help me sing this chorus one more time. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. It's coming. It's coming, folks. I'm just telling you, it's coming. I can remember as a young boy, and I preachers would preach on the rapture, and preachers would preach on the end of time, and I would think in my mind, how in the world could that be? And I'm a product of grew up in the 70s and the early 80s, and I remember when CNN started. I remember when they finally come out, Chucky, with satellites that you could see around the world. Back in the 70s, they didn't understand how in the world this was going. Can you imagine how John must have felt? How the whole world's going to see what's going on? And I'm telling you, folks, everything is lined up right now. Amen. Right now. I believe the church could be raptured before daylight. Amen. I'm going to move. How about you?